What's up? Welcome to episode 318 of the PS4 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Izzy.
Yo.
And Messiah is busy, so she won't be joining us. But I guess it's fine, because there's not... I was looking at the news, just trying to run past and remind myself of the articles this week, and there's not much. We had... So I guess basically just get into straight into new releases, then we'll cover the few things that did happen. But we did have Mortal Kombat 11 launch this week. It's been reviewing really well. I know there's a lot of issues people had with the difficulty of the Tower of Time, and because it was like this timed event, and if you ran out of time during it, you didn't get the rewards, and then they felt like the rewards you were getting weren't really worth the investment. But they did talk about how they patched it. I would have to go and look at the patch notes specifically, but I know they said they made some tweaks, and they also gave some free rewards to people, I guess, to make up for the fact that it was so difficult. But I did think it was funny because there was one article where it was based on a post on Reddit where someone said it would basically cost you like $6,400 to buy all the costumes for all the characters, because they do have an online, they have a store. not only can you buy in-game currency to unlock stuff in the crypt if you wanted, but they do also sell, I'm assuming just like Fortnite and PUBG and Apex Legends, they sell the character skins on the store as well. So this person assumed that they sold every skin that's in the game, which is a ton of skins, and they estimated how much it cost to buy them all. So then instantly all the news outlets start picking up on this thing, reporting that it would cost you, you know, over $6,000 to buy all the costumes. And then Ed Boon comes out and tweets, he's like, how ridiculous the story was and how the vast, vast majority of costumes aren't going to be available on the store. You have to earn them through playing the game, and how people should check their... get their facts straight before publishing stories. And I just thought that was really funny, because it's like, you're going off a Reddit post. It's like, but cause that's happened before.
Totally true too. Like, people are just dumb like that.
Well, they've done that. People have done that before. Like, they'll estimate stuff. Usually, I mean, the post shouldn't have been picked up by mainstream so immediately, but that's the problem. People got to move fast. But there have been people on like subreddits where, let's say a game did have some sort of microtransactions or something involved. Like, for example, when the Battlefront 2 situation came out and people were doing the calculations on how long it would take you to earn the stuff by playing the game and how long you'd have to play the game. And that was, like, based on all the information up front from the store. There was no speculation. Like, you had all the details there. Like, this is the system in place. This is how long it would take. And then that, you know, was verified by some other people. But there are a lot of people like to do that who run the math. Now, obviously, the problem with this guy who did the math for Mortal Kombat is that they were unaware that you couldn't buy every costume. It was only a couple of costumes for, you know, the characters. So that was the big piece of missing information. But yeah, it is funny when you see stuff like that get run so quick. But, you know, then it's like, all right, well, now no one's... How many people are going to see the retraction? Because that's the thing, you always see that too, and like, especially with any, you know, social media witch hunt as well, where something's like, oh, this person did this, and then it turns out, no, they didn't. And it's like, well, how many people are going to see the articles saying, you know, so-and-so didn't do this? You know, because once you get that, you know, it's guilty until proven innocent with the internet, and no one sees the proven innocent bits.
Oh, yeah. As far as they're concerned, that damage is already done, pretty much.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, once you get that, there's no real catharsis afterwards. Like, oh, you know. But anyways. Yeah, and then we also had Days Gone came out on Friday. I've played a little bit of that. I'll talk about that later when we get into what we're playing. and that's come out to some mixed reviews. Some people get it, like, you know, okays. And like this 6.5, 7s, and some people get it up in the 8s. I'm really enjoying it. But we'll go ahead and get into that later. But as far as news goes, we did get a report from, I believe it was an investor call that talked about this. Yeah, it was a financial results for fiscal 2018 that Sony announced that they have shipped 96.8 million units of the PS4. And they expect that 112.8 million will be shipped by March 2020. But what was interesting about that is that they did confirm that there would be no next generation console within the fiscal year, or within released in the next 12 months, which essentially means we won't see another PS4 until sometime after May 2020. You figure it's going to be, you know, October or November, like it always is. It's good to see that that's, you know, confirmed that we won't be seeing anything later. Well, we obviously knew there wouldn't be anything later this year because they're using the CPU that they're using, but that just puts a little extra confirmation on there. what else? Let's see. We did get the Fortnite's Avengers limited time mode is back. It was there last year when Infinity War was out, but this time it's a little more involved, which I like the changes that they made. I felt like it definitely makes the mode a little more fun, I suppose, because the previously last year it was deathmatch, or the regular battle royale mode, 100 players, and then the Infinity Gauntlet spawns, and then someone picks it up, they become Thanos, and then whoever kills Thanos, he'll drop the gauntlet, and then whoever grabs it next becomes Thanos again. And it just goes down to the last person to survive. And they did some balancing because Thanos was a little too OP at the start. But then in this mode, they turned it into a team deathmatch. So now it's like, I believe it's either 20 on 20, because I kind of play around. Whenever they do team games, they don't always make it. Like, originally, big team battles were always like 50 on 50, and they still do those. But usually if there's some special mechanic involved, like the Disco Fever modes that they did, it was 32 on 32. And then they also do this the base versus kind of thing, where it's like one was Team Hamburger and one was Team Pizza, Team Tomato Head. And you basically...
What?
There was this restaurant, and the mascot for it was this giant tomato. And then there's a burger restaurant on the other side of the map called Der Burger. And eventually they created one of the things I like about Fortnite is they'll take a lot of fan created skins into the game and put them in there. So someone created this tomato head skin, or it was just this, who's supposed to be essentially the mascot for the pizza place that this tomato restaurant was. So then they added the skin later on, which is basically just a normal skin, you know, kind of in this green base color with this like red white shirt, but then the head was like a giant tomato, like they're wearing this tomato mask, like a mascot. And so that skin became available. And then someone created a Der Burger skin. So then they created this LTM where it was basically Der Burger versus the tomato head. And so no matter whatever team you're on, your default skin is going to be the tomato or the Der Burger. And a base for each team spawned with a giant metal version of the mascot, and your objective was to destroy the other team's mascot. But then they lowered that down to either, I think, 16 versus 16, because there was respawning. I think anytime there's respawn mechanics, they, like in the 50v50s, it goes down to the last team left. But in the disco mode and in this mode, there's respawning. I think whenever they do respawning to make the server run a little better, they lower the player count. But anyway, so there's respawning in the Thanos mode. So they I think it's only either 20 versus 20 or something. I've only played a couple games, but I feel like they definitely made it a little better. It's the Chitauri versus the heroes, essentially. And there's four, ultimate weapons. There's the Iron Man gauntlets. There's Thor's Stormbreaker, there's the bow from Hawkeye, and there's Captain America's shield. And they each do have different abilities, and they all give you extra agility as well. And they have infinite ammo, whatever they are. Like, you can do this double jump hover thing with the Iron Man gauntlets. You can throw Thor's hammer. It also lets you do a leaping attack and everything. And you can carry more than one if you can find them. And they also give you a treasure map right from the start, so you're guaranteed to get a treasure chest that will spawn one of these, you know, Avenger items. So at least if you land in some point of interest and you can't get any of the chests because your teammates are running around taking them all, at least you're guaranteed to at least get one of these items.
You're saying your teammates steal your stuff?
No, it's like...
No, not in an online game.
Yeah, not in an online game. Well, it's because in this mode, like typically in big team modes, you know, they split the map, two buses flying on opposite ends in opposite directions. But in this mode, they the circle is predetermined. So typically, a lot of people like to land at a point of interest that's already within the circle before the storm closes, and the storm takes 3 minutes to close on that circle. So typically in battle royales, you land, you have a couple minutes, then the storm closes on wherever the circle is going to be. But this is like it starts immediately, so you can't really land super far from the circle because you're going to be eating blue all the way trying to get back if you're not careful. So it's nice that at least that they if you're on if the way they split the map kind of gives you some shitty points of interest, especially with how the map has changed over time. Some sections aren't necessarily as good, might not be as good as they were like in previous seasons because some point of interest have changed and they've been replaced by some spots that initially don't have great loot. But I like that they give you the treasure map so where because only you can dig up the treasure from your treasure map, and I thought that was a really cool thing they did there. But yeah, and essentially it'll spawn in an Infinity Stone. The first Chitauri to find it becomes Thanos, and each stone also grants Thanos and the Chitauri these extra abilities every time they're found. So it's like, oh, this one lets you jump twice as high or as far for both Thanos and the Chitauri, and this one increases the power of the beam, the Power Stone beam, by like six or three times or whatever. This one does this thing by six times, and this one increases how much health you have. And this one's and it's once they the objective of the heroes is to keep killing the Chitauri until they run out of respawns. Or if Thanos and the Chitauri get the if they finish the Infinity Gauntlet, then the heroes can't respawn anymore. So then once they die, they're dead. So your objective there is to just eliminate the other team. And it's a really cool idea. I like that it's definitely more I felt like a team-based version of this LTM is a lot better than what it was previously. Even though I did really enjoy just taking out Thanos last year just one-on-one, being like, you are gonna get messed up. Because I just used the freaking back when they had the LMG in the game. Oh, it was so good. But yeah, you can check that out. I'm not sure how long the mode's going to be available. I think the last year it was in there for at least a couple weeks. If maybe just one. It felt like it was in there for a while. I played a ton of it. But I guess the benefit of this being a team game is because the other one was solos only. So at least this you could group up with your friends and queue up on the same game type, which is, a good benefit, especially if you want to play maybe just two people in your squad or have four people, whatever. And you can still queue up solo if you want and just be on a solo squad, but still be on the team. So that's there. Check that out. We also got the announcement of Persona 5 Royale. The official announcement. The Royale, sorry. This is, of course, they teased the P5R and P5S, I think last week or the week before. And basically, this is the golden version of Persona 5. It'll release this year in Japan and then in 2020 in America. But essentially, it does introduce a new character who's an exchange student. It also has a new semester of school that got added. And then there's a couple quality of life changes that they did. And it also have 4K support as well. I'm definitely looking forward to that because I feel like by 2020, I would be up because who knows what's going to come out, especially if it's like right before next gen. Like if it's this summer before the PS5, I'd be like, all right, I'll play this because you figure, especially if Death Stranding and Tealoo 2, like if they launch close to when the PS5 will come out. And it's gonna have if they have PS5 versions, it's like, well, I'll just wait for the PS5 versions. Kind of like what I did with PS4, where Battlefield and Assassin's Creed Black Flag, this is Battlefield 4, and Assassin's Creed Black Flag launched, the weeks or a couple weeks prior to the PS4 release. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna buy this on PS3. I'm just gonna wait to play on PS4 because A, Battlefield 4 on PS4 was far superior to on PS3 because you actually had 64 players, and then it also ran way better. And then I wanted the better version of Black Flag, so we'll see. But yeah, I look forward to playing, replaying a Persona 5.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I loved Persona 4 Golden for the Vita. That was awesome. I'm curious. I don't know if this is like optimism, but I'm curious what else they're going to add to the game. Because usually when they make these special versions, they typically add more than just like a new player. And I know they mentioned the new social events and links, but that doesn't really seem like it doesn't seem like that much to me.
Well, it seems looking down here, it says they also got. So I'm reading this article off To Infinite. So this isn't a quote from the release news for the Royale. This is them commenting on the information we've seen. But it's they. We also got artwork and information on a second new character who will collaborate with the Phantom Thieves. His name is Tokuto Maruki, and he is appointed as the counselor by Shujin Gakuen after what happened with a certain teacher in April. He is also, or he's known for giving good advice. So it looks like he's another social character. In addition, you'll be able to enjoy, aside from the third semester of school, you'll get to also Tokyo's popular, I'm going to butcher this name, Kichijoji District is going to be added. So it'll be a whole new district as well on the map. There'll be stronger monsters, new events in the cell of the Velvet Room, and even mysterious chests appearing in the palaces. Let's see, what else we got? Yeah, I don't see graphics will be updated, obviously. And then there will be new music. And then yeah, I can't it looks like that's it for now that we can see. So two new characters and then semester and a new segment. But yeah, of
But yeah,
course this
I'm excited about that.
yeah. And this is all translated initially from the Japanese the there's a Japanese trailer that was translated by Superfan, and then so that's where you got information about the new trailer, since there's no English version of it yet. And then there's all these other details as well. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that. Should be pretty fun. Definitely want to go back to Persona.
The only thing, and I already mentioned this to you, the only thing I wish that this game would do, and it might, you never really know, is I want to reuse the characters I already have. Not the levels, but I want to reuse like the team I built, and I'd love to be able to start that team up again at level one or something, but just not have the same abilities and stuff.
Is there New Game Plus in Persona 5?
Yeah, but you keep all of your levels,
Right.
so you just absolutely annihilate everything, honestly. But the rarity of stuff when you get to the end of the game, like it takes so long to get some of those guys, like the like god ones, like Lucifer, the Satanael, I can't remember what his name is, but like all those guys are really fun to use, but you only get to use them for like an hour in the game,
Yeah.
something like that. So it would be really cool to start again at level one with them, as in be able to do that. Basically, some method of transferring saves. And you can reset some levels and stuff, but it just, what I'm looking for, I guess, is some method of actually transferring saves so that I can transfer some of the data I had over to this new version.
Yeah, I can see them possibly doing something like that, like letting you transfer over, but if anything, maybe just be the basic, just transfer over your save files, but start a new game and
Yeah.
still have the this those high levels like you said, but who knows, maybe they could do something like they'll think about that. I mean, they've got plenty of time between now and then. If anything, I can see them not do that for maybe the Japanese release, but eventually once they finish it up, they'll be like, oh, players would have really liked to, have this feature, and then patch it in for the American release or the English release.
But yeah, so I'm still looking forward to it. I still think it's going to be cool.
Definitely looking forward to that. Should be pretty fun. But yeah, that was they also announced Persona 5 Scramble, which is a I think like what Dynasty Warriors style game, but set in the Persona world. So a lot of people were thinking it was going to be Persona Switch.
It looks kind of cool. Did you watch the like videos of it?
I did, but I'm not in that style of game. But I did see it.
I mean, it's not my normal type of game, but it looked kind of cool when I saw it. I was like, I don't really have any desire to play this at the moment, But I could see myself, hitting a game lull in a few weeks or months or whatever. Not obviously, not in a few weeks or months, but I could see myself hitting a game lull when it's out and just being like, yeah, let's give it a shot and just see how it goes.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe, if it, again, I'm not, it's not my style of game, but who knows? I just know that a lot of people are like super not excited about it. They're like, oh, just because they're bummed out. But
I'm surprised people are actually bummed out about it because it's literally just a new Persona game. Like,
right,
are
but
people bummed because they wanted the Switch version?
yes, they everybody was so many people were convinced, especially because I think Walmart leaked Persona coming to Switch. I mean, this game is coming to Switch, the but I obviously, when you think, oh, Persona coming to Switch, everybody thought it was going to be Persona 5, so then the news starts speculating on whether or not it was going to come to Switch. So then there was people hyping themselves up beyond belief, and it was just, yeah, they said when they announced this, like, it's they just get bummed out. It's like, well, you did it to yourself, and it's like, because Walmart leaked this stuff and yada yada. And yeah, maybe they shouldn't have called it S because that was kind of, misleading a bit. Like, they should have thought about that. Like, eh, maybe not call it this. It's like if you call it, like Persona 5X, you're like, oh, it's gonna be an Xbox version. But
I kind of disagree with that because, frankly, there are a lot of games that use like an S or an X or something that has history to it, essentially. Like, I don't really view this as a bad move on their part. I think this was people just being dumb.
I just feel like I can see it though, like because it was S specifically and it's called the Switch. Like they could have been, they had, so many other characters they could have chosen, and of course you have to come up with a
Okay.
name for it.
But are you gonna knock off every letter then? Like, are you gonna restrict, you can't ever do P because it's, PlayStation, or you can't ever do 5 because 5, you can't call it P5 or abbreviated P5 because people will get it confused with the PlayStation 5. Like,
No, you can
it
do.
just seems like a
It was just because
I
it was it again, I can see, because there are a lot of things when they have like the Switch. It's just that S has been used, and like you see that in other versions of things in the past, where like they'll call it, the sub header will be something that does like Zombie U, and like, and then when they released it on the other consoles, they just call it Zombie because it wasn't for the Wii U. Or like when you have these things that are just like, I can see that. I understand how people thought maybe that meant there was going to be, especially when they said, here's Persona 5R and here's Persona 5S. So people thought, oh, it'll be, some people say, okay, R will be the golden version, exclusive to PS4, because that's the deal that Sony will make. And then they'll put the regular non-golden version on the Switch. Like they could see maybe that's what it was going to be. So there, that way
yeah, so what
PlayStation
did
still
they
has
think
some.
the R stood for?
Well, no one knew. No one, that was all. They didn't think it's different. They just were speculating. But once they came out with when they announced the Royal, and you confirmed that it was the R, because they did them a day apart, Royal and Scramble. So initially coming out, they're like, the rumors are already out that Persona 5R was going to be called Royale and was going to be a golden version. Like that, those are that leak was already out there. I just think it's like in the combo of calling it the S, and then Walmart saying there's going to be Personas coming to the Switch, or whatever retail it was. It's like that just kind of fuels this speculation. Like you can easily connect the dots there. I don't blame people for doing it. It's just I feel like maybe you could have seen, like from a marketing standpoint, like yeah, maybe this it's confusion. Like you, because you've seen that. I'm trying to remember the last time it happened where someone they apologized to go, yeah, we could see how this could have led to confusion. But I forget what it was. It was something smaller. It wasn't, I can't remember. Like they, it basically, they acknowledged that the way they tease something, it set expectations way above. Because I mean, you see that recently too with like Cory Barlog when he talks about before the anniversary of God of War, he said, oh, he teased something like, and there's even more to come. And he goes, just to let you know, not to overset expectations. This is going to be DLC, so don't expect that. There's no DLC, but it was just something else. But for him, it could be huge, and so when he teases it, he just wants to make sure he doesn't actually over tease
Was
something.
it
But
Diablo, the mobile game at E3?
no, it wasn't that. It was like someone came out and definitely said, like, it was like a, I feel like it was a single developer, like, you know, like they were like a key person behind some franchise, and they said something like I think it was either a retrospective, like, yeah, if I could have maybe teased this a little differently or done something a little different, because it's just something you got to watch out now, this in this day and age, where everybody's like just constantly speculating. But yeah, I understand again how people thought maybe it could have been coming to the Switch, based on the name and then the leak. So I don't begrudge them. Just it's like it's also kind of like, yeah, well, you know, just don't be mad at, you know, that it's not that game. Don't give them a bunch of junk because it isn't what you wanted it to be.
I think the only reason I never really thought it was a Switch version, was because I'm so used to the naming schemes with Apple and stuff that when I see an S, I don't usually think Switch. I think like small or something like that. Like it just the iPhone S naming convention has made me not think of letters as having much significance.
Yeah, but the S introduction, the iPhone never meant smaller. It was always like it was the next version, like the 4, or the
No, but that's
4S.
my point. It ended up not meaning shit. It didn't mean small, which was what I assumed when it first came out, is that it would be like like a smaller iPhone. That's my point, is like that whole thing made it so that I don't associate letters after naming conventions as necessarily having any significance.
I suppose. I guess I never look at it. I always look at it from a game standpoint.
Although I can't think of actually many games that really do that. I feel like Persona might be one of the only ones.
I'd have to, because I don't want to sit here and speculate on it, because it's
Yeah.
just dead air. I'm sure I'll think of them later and be like, oh, there's this one, but it won't be on the podcast, so there's no real point to look it up later. But I know there are examples of subheaders.
But yeah. The scramble looked interesting to me. I think it'll be fun. It's like you said, it's not really exactly the type of game I would typically play, but I can definitely see myself being bored one night, it's on sale, and just being like, fuck it, let's try it out. I like Joker, I like that world.
Yeah. If there's like nothing else out, yeah, I suppose. But yeah, other than that, there's not a whole lot of other stuff in the news. I tried digging through and finding everything, and there isn't much. So, I guess we can just talk about. I'm sure you haven't been. Oh, Persona concert. Oh, it's like live streams. Never mind. I think that's already happened because this is an old article, but. Yeah, no news on when that God of War documentary is coming out. So I was hoping we'd get some
Have
of
they
that.
released any more information about like how it's being structured or anything? Because I know last time we were talking about
Nothing.
Etsy. I'll learn more.
You just gotta wait. But yeah, I guess we'll just move into what we've been playing, which I'm sure you probably haven't been playing a whole lot because your dad was in town.
I haven't played anything since last week. I have only turned on my PlayStation to toss on Hulu and sci-fi shows since my dad was visiting for Easter, so I've done jack shit.
Yeah, like I said, I tried that Fortnite mode. I played Apex. Of course, I always play Apex, so I played a lot of Apex. And then I didn't pick up Mortal Kombat 11,
Are
just
you
because
planning on picking it up?
I was thinking about picking it up because I definitely want to play it for the story, like, because I hear good stuff about the story. And I have 10. I just haven't finished it, so I'm thinking about maybe either speed running through the 10 story mode and just getting it done just so I can get it. But I need to go back and watch a cut of Mortal Kombat 9 story because it's technically like its trilogy. And I skipped 9. I don't remember why. Because typically I played like every Mortal Kombat. I played a lot because I played when Deadly Alliance came out. I played Deadly Alliance. I played Deception. I played Armageddon. I played them all. And then it's like that's when I really got into Mortal Kombat back then. And then I don't think I played 9, and then yeah, it must have been just something, a lot of other stuff coming out. But yeah, I picked up 10 when it was on sale, and then now there's 11. I really want to get into them, but I want to watch those movies first. course, there's a lot of deals going on again right now. But yeah, I did pick up Days Gone. I'm not that far into it, maybe like a couple hours. Haven't done much. I haven't technically done like the first, like I don't have access to the entirety of the map just yet. At least I'm assuming that's the case because I can see some of the map to the south, and then the character is also talking a lot about going north once we, you know, get supplies, which doesn't seem like it's gonna be that hard to do. Yeah, the game looks really good. I love the way the redwood trees look. They look really nice because I've played games that have really nice trees. Like Horizon has some great foliage, but they're also like
Horizon really does.
it's got a different art style, whereas Days Gone's that more realistic art style. And then so then seeing actual redwood trees and then like they're blowing in the wind or if it's raining and they're moving and each like individual limb and branch is just moving on its own. And I'm sure up close they're probably just 2D textures, like high quality 2D textures. But they look it looks really good. Now like the HDR is really nice too. I really like the HDR in this game. But yeah, it's I'm enjoying it so far. I haven't too much th I the couple problems I have are like so you have these objectives where when you come across these freaker nests, you have to take them out. And essentially it's like it tells you where it is. Like, oh, here's you're in this zone, it's like there's a freaker nest, and there's six nests you have to destroy. Basically, just throw a Molotov at them to burn them down, and then a couple freakers run out and you shoot them. And they give you plenty of mats to build the Molotovs you need. So you do that, but they don't mark them on the map like, oh, here's the freaker nest. You have to like go run around and find them. So I found one right away because like this tiny little shed outside, and I can see, and they have like this, it almost looks like a like this beaver dam in the doorway, where it's just like a bunch of twigs and brush and shit, and just built up to make this nest. And so you know exactly where it is. And he calls it out, and then it marks on the map like once he sees it. But you gotta be pretty close. But then it was like I found this big building and it had a bunch of them inside, and it marked them once I got there, but it only marks them on the mini map. It doesn't mark them on the main map. So I take those out, but then it's like I need one left. I'm like, okay, now I have to. I'm five out of six of these nests. And I have to find the last one, but I don't know where it is. So I'm just running around each of these little buildings until I can find one. And it was like in this tiny little building that had it. And I it just kind of bugging. I was like, I wish that if I got into a place, I could just be, hey, your objective is to destroy these nests. Here they are. Or if I use this survival vision mode that he has, kind of like a, not like listen mode in Last of Us, but kind of like Assassin's Creed. Where you know you scan it and it will tag items you can pick up, and if you upgrade it later, it'll mark enemies, just like in Assassin's Creed. But yeah, it's like if I hit that, it doesn't tell me exactly where these things are. So that was one thing that kind of bugged me. I was like, all right, I'll just have to run around and check every building. Another thing that I hate is games. I talk about in Discord where games are they limit you to a small amount of carrying capacity for items that seem like way less than they should because there's so much stuff you can pick up. And I hate when I go into a place and it's like, oh, I can't pick up anything because I'm full. Apparently, I have as much ammo as I can carry, or they don't have the ammo for the gun I need. Or I can't carry any more components. I can't carry any more ingredients to make meds or to make Molotovs. It's like, I just can't carry anymore. Now, there are perks you can get later to let you carry more of those things, but you have to. The way the perk system works in this game is kind of like, I'm trying to remember that. I think it's Borderlands that did this. Some other game has done this, where it's like you have a tree, you have like a melee tree, a survival tree, and a range tree. And in order to, and they all have these ranks, like rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And in order to unlock the rank 2 skills, you have to buy at least two perks in rank 1, and so forth and so forth. And of course, rank 2 skills cost 2 points, and rank 3 costs 3 points, so and so and so and so. So you have to spend points to unlock points. So you can't just be like, just easily go straight down a skill tree, like in Horizon or in Borderlands. I'm just gonna go straight down this one side, or Spider-Man. I'm gonna go straight down this side and get all these. I want to get that perk. I'm just gonna quickly go to that perk because it's really good. I can't do that. I have to invest in these other perks. So there are like rank 5 tier 5 perks are like, oh, increase how much ammo you can carry. And there's some that are like rank 3, like, oh, increase how much components you can carry. And I don't know, being limited on what I can carry when you're giving me an abundance of items. It's like, if you're going to do that, then I wish there was a system in place that would allow the game to adjust on the fly how much loot actually spawns. Because I feel like there are some games that do that where, like, if you're, there are
A lot of
games.
games do that, where depending on what you're carrying with you, more or less loot spawns. Like, I know The Last of Us does that, where if you have full, like, everything, it spawns much less items, and if you're very low, it spawns more. And I think Resident Evil does this as well. Usually horror games do it.
Yeah, I didn't notice it in Res, cause I but I was never ammo starved in that game, so I had
It's
like,
usually horror games with ammo is where the loot is adjusted.
yeah, I feel like maybe Tila did again. I that but that was something where I conserve so much ammo in those games where I know ammo is scarce. I just conserve so much anyways that it never seems to be a problem. But yeah, it's like I just wish they would. Now the nice thing I guess is that the enemies that have loot that you can't pick up, they stay marked on the minimap. So you see like the X for there's a dead body here. And you can see the icons are red to let you know you can't pick this up because you have max this particular component. So then if you use it as you go through, you can see, oh, I still have all those dead bodies I can go back and possibly loot now because I've done the stuff. Plus they give you all those mats anyways to especially you go to a place like, oh, you have to clear out these nests. Well, you have to use the Molotovs. So they give you components to make the Molotovs. But yes, that's the only thing I'm doing. He doesn't show me where all the nests are when I go into a place. The other thing I wish they would do is, I don't like when a game has a day-night cycle, but it doesn't allow you to rest specific amounts of time. And that's why I wish more games were like Far Cry 2, where Far Cry 2 had a day-night cycle that affected how many enemies are at a camp. You know, gave you cover of darkness, yada yada, all that stuff. But in that game, when you rested, you had a watch and you could set, like, I want to rest 2 hours. Or a game like that did something kind of similar, it was like MGS5. Now, you couldn't do it with as great accuracy, but if you smoked the Phantom Cigar, you could, once it starts, it goes pretty quick, but it's still fairly slow because it goes by every hour, it shows how much time's gone by, and you can stop it.
Is it
So,
really called the Phantom Cigar?
yeah, it's his Phantom Cigar, and that speeds up time.
I guess that sort of makes sense.
That's their,
No.
because there's different in that game. Of course, soldiers occupying a fortress or a base will change shifts during night and in the morning, and usually there's less soldiers at nighttime. So if you want to, I want to go do this mission. I'd rather do it at night. Just and it's like, oh, I gotta wait 3 hours. Just pass the time by smoking the cigar, and then you can pop out of it whenever you want. And then in games like Dying Light that have a day-night cycle where night is severely more difficult than the daytime, they it's like if it's getting dark out, you just go to a house, a safe house, and then when you rest, the bed is sleep until morning. And then if it's in the daytime, you can sleep until night. So while you can't get as much accuracy, it starts you right at the beginning of one of those cycles. And my
That's what I'm used to seeing is rest until morning or rest until night.
yeah, and in this game, when I rest, it's like, oh, at nighttime it's usually better. There's less freakers out in their area or whatever. And it's like, okay, at the daytime there's gonna be more of them. But if I want to rest, it's just straight up sleep. And it's like, I think it's by default just 12 hours probably. Like, there's no, how long do you want to sleep? Do you want to sleep until morning? Do you want to sleep until night? It's just rest, and then time elapses. And I don't like that lack of control when there's a clear mechanic between day and night. It's like if you're gonna have this ability for time to, you know, elapse, and there's changes in gameplay mechanics, let me control how long I'm sleeping. Maybe I just want to take a nap. But that's the
It's
only thing
actually
that.
kind of odd that they don't, because that's such a common feature nowadays. Although, are you sure it's just 12 hours, or is it just been, like, you've rested? I assume you're bringing this up because you've rested at a weird moment and it started you at another weird moment.
No, like they show you time elapse, and I'm like, okay, I'm clearly here at this time of day. And you see, like, it pans up, the sun or the moon moves, whatever, yada yada, but it's like way more than I want it to. It's like, why didn't you just stop once the sun first comes up? Or why didn't you stop when the moon, it's like, just stop at the beginning of one particular cycle. Don't just stop in the middle of it. Like, oh, I rested and now suddenly it's 4 p.m. I'm like, well, great. Now it's just going to be, it's going to be nighttime again real quick. But then Assassin's Creed did this too. You couldn't, it's like, oh, rest in Assassin's Creed. You have to, you know, meet up with this NPC at nighttime. And it's like, okay, I'll rest and, or meditate in Assassin's Creed. And you can't choose how long you meditate for. It's just, you hold the button, it goes up in the sky, time elapses, and then you go down and you have no control of that. You just have to hope that, obviously, if it's daytime, it's going to be nighttime. But if I want it in that game, I don't think it necessarily matters, in the world, you know, what time of day it is. It's going to be the same amount of enemies. I don't think anything changes in Assassin's Creed, but that always kind of bugged me. It's like, especially if I, like, okay, great, I have to wait at night to meet this NPC to, you know, to go do whatever, fine. But I'd prefer to play this game in the daytime because it looks great. Now it's like, if I get done with this mission and I meditate again, I'm just going to skip halfway through the daytime. And then I'm like, well, I might as well just wait for the rest of this nighttime to run out just so I can get back to where I want it to be. It's like, there's no, because I can't control the rest period. And it just, that bugs me. And then the other thing that I wish more games did was like in Far Cry 5. I don't remember if they did this in Far Cry 4. It's been a while since I played it. But in Far Cry 5, if you're in a vehicle and you're going to an objective, it will mark the road with a yellow line leading you to the objective, just like games do on the minimap. And the minimap in Days Gone shows you, it outlines the road on the minimap. The downside is now I'm constantly having to look at the minimap to make sure I'm going the right direction. Where in Far Cry, because it's on the road itself, I can still look around, pan the horizon, take in, you know, how good the game looks, and still see that I'm on the right path in my peripheral vision, because it's still right, it's essentially almost center screen because I'm on the road. I just can look, I can turn the camera and look wherever and it's good. Or in that game, you could also put on autopilot and then look around if you want. But if I'm not putting on autopilot, I could still look around and I could see that I'm going in the right direction without looking at, because there's no minimap in that game, there's just the compass. And I wish I could kind of get rid of the minimap or just, and because I'd rather be able to look at the screen proper and see where I need to go and not miss out on all this detail by having to look down at the minimap. And that just, that bugs me. I just don't know why more games don't do that.
So the game kind of only reviewing slightly above average. I haven't read the reviews because I was trying to avoid spoilers. What is the main I'm assuming you've read some of them. What's the main complaint people are having?
I only watched a video for one. And I've heard Game Informer's podcast talk about it. And I heard also a bit of Greg Miller talking about it on Kind of Funny Games Daily. But some people don't like the main character necessarily. They also think some of the dialogue is not that great. It's just kind of, you know, average. And then one of the big things some people don't like is, at least for Lucy O'Brien, who reviewed it for IGN, was that the side missions essentially are the same throughout the entirety of the game. The game's like, I guess, like 60 hours. And so like the side missions, like the objectives you have to do are basically the same no matter what you're doing. It's like, oh, go here, start a generator, yada yada, or go here, talk to the person. And the side quests, they say, aren't that rewarding. Like, it's like, oh, I need you to go talk to so-and-so, and then you go meet so-and-so, and there's a small cutscene, you talk to them, and then it's over, and there's no, like, big, there's no big, you know, it's not like Witcher cut, yeah, side quests or these other game side quests, like, big to-dos. It's kind of, you know, whatever. What else do they not like? Some people had, now, these people played before, there was two patches that did go live, 1.3 and 1.4. So I don't know what happened with 1.1 or 1.2. Who knows? Maybe I just skipped that and went straight to 1.3. But a lot of people who were playing before release were having problems with performance, frame drops, performance issues, stuff like that. Now, I had one moment yesterday when I was playing where I felt like maybe it could have been a combination of things I was doing, but I did cause the game to drop some frames for a moment. But other than that, I haven't noticed anything. I'm trying to think of what else. Some people don't like the fact that the bike takes such a beating in the game. They kind of wish you could be a little more aggressive with it, especially against the Freakers, but it's like they feel like, nah, that could just be them and their playstyle. But there are some people who I know who like that aspect because they like having to take care of the vehicle. And there's plenty of components around, and there's any point of interest or big area you go to, there's always going to be gas, so you can just refill your bike. You can upgrade it, of course, to make it have better durability. But I'm trying to think of what else. I think that's just it. Like, they just, some people thought the story was just okay. And then the not so, some people thought the dialogue was kind of, you know, just average, not really great. Some people didn't like the main character, but they like some side characters. Some people do like the main character. And then it just, I think it's just those side missions. But then there's, I heard someone talk about where they go, they like the combat and they like that side mission kind of stuff. So I forget what game they compared it to. It was some game they're like, if you liked doing, you know, or they liked, they're okay. There are some people didn't like the fact that you had to be a little more, you know, I think someone complained about needing to prepare a little more for certain, taking out certain outposts, which I mistakenly ran into one group of marauders, and it was like they heard my bike from further away than I expected, so they automatically started walking my direction, so I instantly got into combat instead of like sneaking through the camp. So I basically was in a gunfight killing like 14 people, not all at once, but like going through the camp killing them, and it was fine. I didn't have any problems there, but some people thought like they had to be needing to be methodical about taking out a place they didn't like. But then that's what it was. It was one person compared to like a Sniper Elite and how they liked being methodical in the Sniper Elite games, and they liked doing that in this game where it's like, okay, I have to be careful because I have, you know, only so many resources. Like ammo, of all the resources, ammo is definitely the most scarce, I feel like. And oh, that's another thing I kind of wish the game would do. So when you have a gun, like I have an AK, and then I kill a guy with a shotgun, he drops a shotgun. When you are over the shotgun to hold square to swap it, because right now I can only carry one long arm, so it's like, oh, if you're going to pick up the shotgun, you're going to drop your AK. I'm like, okay. I wish it would tell me, hey, it tells you you're swapping the AK for a shotgun, here's the stat differences, here's your range difference, and this is how your damage difference, like standard stuff. It's like, okay, clearly shotgun has more damage, less range, obviously. The one thing it doesn't tell you is, hey, you can pick up the shotgun, but you don't have any shotgun shells, or you have two shells. Like, it doesn't tell me. And so there's sometimes where, like, I'll run out of gun, ammo, and be like, oh, I'll just quickly pick up this gun. It's like, oh, well, there's one round in it or something. I'm like, because I didn't have the ammo for that gun. I'm like, ah, damn it.
Is that a difficulty setting, or is that...
No, I don't think so. I'm only playing on normal right now, because it's going to play on hard, but then it goes, oh, if you play on hard, you can't switch it back. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll just put on normal for the moment. And you can modify certain things in the setting. But no, it's not like a... I don't think it's a difficulty setting thing. It's just a UI thing. Like, I feel like it should just tell me, hey, you can pick up the shotgun, but you have no ammo or something. Or just have the ammo icon next to it. Like, here's the damage and how much you have. And who knows, maybe it's like a perk you have to get or something, but I don't know.
A perk to know how much ammo you have.
Yeah, like a survivalist kind of thing. Who knows? But yeah, so that's one of the issues I have right now with swapping weapons. It's like, you know, doing that. I do like the radio wheel. I think the radio wheel in this game is really cool, where it's you go up to like throwables, and then it pulls up a little like quarter arc that goes like, okay, which throwable you want, Molotov, your grenade, your pipe bomb, and you, so you're still using the joystick, like you hold the stick in the direction of the whatever gear slot, and then it pops up a sub section in that, so you could still use the stick. And I was telling Zaha, like in other games, typically like you do that and you hit L1 R1 to or left and right to cycle through weapons, but I like the way it does here, so at least you're constantly keeping your hand on the stick the whole time. You don't have to hit any other buttons. I also like the healing mechanic is really fast. It's like you can do it while reloading. You can just hold left on the D-pad and you'll start to heal. So it's like not realistic in that sense, but it's like it's convenient that I'm reloading, but I could still hold left to hit this, get this heal off. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. Like I said, game looks really good. It's Unreal Engine 2, which is interesting. They're not, I forgot that they were doing Unreal until I watched a Digital Foundry's video instead of using an in-house engine. But yeah, it looks real good. Does have, there's been some streaming popping. I haven't noticed a lot of it, but I saw a little bit of it, which is to be expected. I don't think Unreal's necessarily meant for open world games. But at least the areas I've been to so far haven't been like crazy open areas. Like I'm driving through a lot of wooded areas, and I think there's been a couple open spots, but again, I'm not that far in the game, so but I'm liking it so far. I just gotta get back in there. I just need more ammo capacity. I want to be able to just, it is fun shooting. I do like fighting people. And then I had this moment where it's like I was taking out this freaker nest and there are some gunshots, and I'm like, okay, there's other people here. And I ran up, and they were fighting these freakers, and I killed the freakers, and then I accidentally swung at the one of the other, because I didn't realize it was two characters. I thought it was only one character. And then I hit the other person, and then instantly they aggroed me, and I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll just kill them. But there was no, like, remorse from Deacon St. John, like, I guess I didn't have to kill those people. But it was just like, I killed them, and I was like, done. But definitely look forward to playing some more of it and seeing... just riding around the whole world. I haven't found any giant hordes yet. I've seen them, but I haven't like been able to, like in the beginning you see one during one of the tutorial segments, but I haven't fought one yet.
You should just run straight in when you find one.
Hell yeah, just go right and get torn apart.
Yep.
I do like that you can't quick save if you're not near a bed or your bike. So I like that. It's like you can't just quick save in the middle of something. Like you got to be near your bike to do it, like as a safe spot. And then it was weird. I had one mission that kind of annoyed me where it was like I had to go find someone who had stolen something. And I get there and it's like, okay, the objective area, it shows you the map. Like your search zone is coming up. So I get off my bike and I go up to the search zone and it goes, your bike must be in the area. I'm like, that's weird, because I didn't want to bring it up because I figured, okay, if the person's here, I don't want to alert them that, you know, with my bike, like, hey, I'm coming. I want to sneak up on them, even though I'm sure it would have been just been a cutscene if that was the case. So I get my bike and I move my bike up and then I go back to the dead body, you know, because the person I'm looking for is dead, and it goes, your bike needs gas. Guy's at like 38%. I was like, what? I was like, I need gas? I was like, okay, clearly they're saying whatever happens after this spawns some sort of segment where I need to get on my bike. So I have to find gas. And so luckily there was gas right nearby. So I put gas in my bike and then sure enough, I go look at the body, person's dead. And then someone, the person who killed him is on their bike and they ride off. So I have to get on my bike and chase them down. And it's kind of a long chase. So that's why they want your gas tank to be full. And every time you find a gas canister, it always takes your gas tank up to 100%. Yeah, that was weird. I was like, just tell me you should fill up your bike or something. Or like, I felt like I could have been fine at 38%. I mean, granted, you had to shoot this person's bike down because they had to take them alive. So you're chasing them. So I guess if you missed a lot or didn't shoot them quick enough, you'd run out of gas and then you'd fail your mission. But at least they give you gas right next to the objective. But yeah, I'll be definitely playing some more of it. And then... hopefully I have some more impressions.
But, and then we'll have to play Divinity again.
Yeah, that too. Definitely play that. Gotta go back. Go. Still more stuff to do in Fort Joy.
Yep.
Got a lot to do in that area. Yeah, well, I guess I'll wrap it up for this one. Again, there wasn't that much news, and I did go on about Days Gone a little longer than I expected, considering I haven't played a ton of it, but yeah. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy, for joining.
Yep.
And we'll see you all next time.
Later.